He said for my father and Peter Connor, yeah, and brother and all built their own boats, yeah.
Oh, we did, yeah. In the shed at the bottom of the ship. I used to be only the fella, the boy in narrow bedages, did you want to say? I used to be clenching the nails.
Have we all done it? He wasn't one alone.
I used to dread the coming home from school and I'd have to go where were a 3 or 4 stone way and hold her up inside underneath where they drove copper nails in, and the way I'd have it torn them back in, you know, so they wouldn't come back out again. Clenching nails, the copper nails it was called.
You had to hold it while he was tapping it so as the clinch would go up, it would sink into the wood. That it was, it would be flush with the wood, you know.
A man called Peter McCauley was a great boat builder. And my father and uncle and them all.
Antimoyne's husband built the boats, Peter McGarley. His grandsons, his great grandsons now would be the McGarley's furniture, you know, the house, kitchens and all that. That's what they do now. It was there for Peter, he was a foreman in the cement. He was married to my auntie and he built the boats in the shed, and a cousin of mine built the last boat. I have a boat out there that I don't think it'll float if it ever gets in the water again. It's that long now since it was in it. But Jack Loud, a first cousin of mine, that built that. So he's dead.
First of all, what we used to do was we'd get 2 big drums, open drums, you know, and we'd put blocks underneath them and put a kind of a fire like a steam sawdust, you know, and smoke the timber. And you'd be able to bend the timber any way you wanted then, you know, to go into a shape for the bottom of the boat, you know.
With the keel, you'd have a big plank, plank about 9 feet 3, about 17 or 18 foot long. You made the bow piece of the boat, and you made the stern piece of the boat.
And then you ribber it with copper nails and fastened with copper rings. And copper nailed.
When you started, then you got with ribs. You made the ribs, but you started at the bow piece, and you got the cover up to the end. Because the stern piece would be nailed at the end of that big plank, and the bow piece. And you got your planks then, and you had the cove as a boat.
Take a while, because every plank you put into it, you put one each side, you get wet sacks, and put the wet sacks on the plank, and clamp them together to get the shape. That is, the plank go into the shape of that you wanted in the bow, and copper fasten every one of the planks.
That that had been to keep them from cracking. Because a new wood, it crash split very easy, you know. And wet sacks would keep them, damp them, and keep them more pliable, actually, too, the planks.
That's the way you done it. Got the hard timber for the ribs. They go in a rib across from one joint and coming across like this. Another one coming like that. Another one this way. That was done with larch or oak. So that's the way we done it, you know. Red deal plank, yeah.
Well, the plank was sealed with the nails. The planks overlapped, but you planed them enough that there was a fairly tight fit, and they were sealed.
Yeah, we used to buy our own timber, yeah. There was actually a timber yard down there, Adam McMahon's. Was there for a long time. No, we had to get her in Bogues, you know. Bogues Sam is there.
Well, it'd be a week now, I'd say. They were never rushed. But they weren't. I wouldn't take you 6 months, no. Well, it just depends if you were rooting ahead yourself. You could do, like, you know.
Yeah, you painted with tar because it was cheap. So it was. Tar was cheap from the gas that was there beside you. Oh, yeah, and inside. Oh, yeah. But in the summer, the tar, when it'd be melted, you'd be stuck to it.
Expensive enough to build, you know, at the time. But you'd be, at times you'd be when fishing so many years, you put, well, we used to do it, and we put so much money by every season in case that hadn't happened to our nets or wear and tear the boat or things like that, you know, and we'd have it, you know.
Paddy Ever, Joe Ever, and Gow Ever, who was blind, built the boats, them boats. And my father and uncle built them. Cousins, like, you know, like, you had your own boats now. They had, their colour was, as you see, green and red. Ours was grey and red. Different colour in the boats. Yeah, you knew the boats. Well, every boat you'd build was slightly different than any other. Would they have had, at any one time, I'd say, if you're counting uncle and all, half a dozen. Some of them were left on the banks, others they brought them up to their own sheds. You know, everyone gave a hand. If they were bringing them up to their own sheds. Oh, you weren't carrying them now, they were put on a kind of a trolley, two-wheel trolley. And it was only a matter of balancing and shoving them, like, you know, timber. The steel wheels and all, like, you know. Could be the wheels of any. The smaller the better, you know. Oh, yeah. I made the 30s ourselves. Very productive. Boat building. The last boat I know that I can remember was built. Actually, it wasn't a Doherty man at all. It was a Mornington man, Tommy Weir, built one himself. Like, you know, he decided it was a project of his, and it was a crown board. Like, between, you had a lot of boats on the river. Like, it wasn't confined to any one family.